If you have your Bibles tonight, I want to read to you. And I want you to help me all that you can. I know Brother Neil Bridges and myself have been over to the Kuna Islands along with Sister Gail Myers, and then Brother Steve Moore and myself went over there, and I don't usually sing at all. But I got an old guitar and started singing Great Speckled Bird, and Brother Frankie, he had heard a little bit about Hank Williams, so he nicknamed me Hanky Williams. And I'll tell you one thing about those people, they kept requesting me to sing. Brother Moore, they liked to sing us to death while we was over there, just request after request. And when I get requests to sing, brother, there's something about that that's just different, and I appreciate it. If you have your Bibles tonight in the book of Revelation, the third chapter, and I want you to help me. Now, I've stayed with you, and I've tried to help every preacher that's preached. You don't have to be jumping up and hollering hallelujah for me to know that you're helping me. Just as long as I can feel your spirit with my spirit. Sometimes, and I appreciate the amens and the hallelujahs and the glory of God's, but sometimes I have seen them where they'd hinder sometimes. Now, don't crawl out with me. I'm wanting some of them, you know. But I love to hear the Word of God. For it is the Word that has life in it. In the book of Revelation, the third chapter, I read to you from verse 1. And unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and art dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which hath not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. The psalmist David said in Psalms, the 13th chapter, verse 3, a portion of that scripture, he said, lighten mine eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. James said in the 2nd chapter of the book of James, that the body without the spirit is dead. And if the Lord will help me tonight, I want to preach a sermon that I drew back from because I felt like the Lord would give me something else, and I kept drawing back from this sermon, but the Lord kept impressing it upon my mind. And after the Spirit's moved like it has tonight, the enemy has said to me, certainly, you must have the wrong message for tonight. But I double-checked with the captain of my salvation, and he said to go ahead and preach this message. And so I'm going to preach tonight on the autopsy of a dead church. The autopsy of a dead church. In the state of Oklahoma, when a body is found, we have a state law that there must be an autopsy performed to determine what was the cause of death. Some of the questions that are asked is when were they last seen alive? Who saw them when they were alive? What were their problems? What were their symptoms? Did they have physical problems? Or did they have complications in their business? Was there something that was causing them to be depressed? What was the cause of death? Every evangelist will tell you as we travel across the country that we are finding many of our holiness churches that are dead. The church in Sardis had a name that they lived, but the only complimentary thing that could be found about them was simply they were dead. They had not always been dead, for they had had such a great vitality and the moving of the Holy Ghost in their church at one time that they had acquired a name of life and of power and of glory. But somehow, something has come into the church and it's killed the church and it's left them with the name that they lived, but they were dead. There were seven churches in Asia that received a letter at this particular time. Two churches received nothing but praise. Two churches received nothing but rebuke. One of them was Sardis. The other churches, they had praise mixed with rebuke. But this church in Sardis had a name that they lived, but they were dead. And I want to find, if I can, tonight, the reason that this church died. And I want to try to link that with the fact that we are losing ground because many of our churches and our congregations are dead. We may come to the camp meeting and shout and kick up our heels, but we're not always at the camp meeting. We'll leave here and go back to our local congregation, and we need to have some life in us. The Bible tells us that the church in Ephesus had the doctrine of the Nicolaitans in it, which was a church, a doctrine that actually put the real approval on loose morals. We have some of that even in our day and time. We've got everything you can think of in the holiness church now. Amen. From the homos on down, they can be found in the holiness churches, sorry to say. The church in Pergamos had the doctrine of Balaam in it. This was a doctrine. Oh, Balaam was a silver-tongued orator, all right. And he could say many beautiful things. But I want to tell you something about Balaam. Even though he could say so many beautiful things, he still loved the wages of unrighteousness. And even though he never collected a dime, as far as I know, in personal money, amen, he sought greedily after these things. And he cast a stumbling block into the very presence of the children of God. Stay with me. I'm going to preach to you here in a little while. Amen. The Lord rebuked the church in Pergamos because of Balaam and the doctrine of Balaam that was there. The church in Thyatira, amen, they had a doctrine in them, considering the fact that we probably don't have too much of that today right here in this church, but there is places where it's at. They were having that woman that calls herself a prophetess, that woman Jezebel. They were allowing her to teach and to seduce the servants of the Lord and to eat things that were sacrificed unto idols, and they were permitting it and putting their approval upon this Jezebel in her doctrine in the church. But the church in Sardis, it had no Nicolaitans. It had no doctrines of Balaam. It receives no reproof for their Jezebels in the church. But there is a worse evil, amen, than the doctrine of Balaam. There is a worse evil that's plaguing our churches than the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. There is a worse evil that's plaguing our churches, amen, than the doctrines of Balaam and of Jezebel. And let me tell you that sometimes there is a worse evil than the presence of something that's morally and doctrinally wrong, and that is numbness, spiritual deadness. Oh, I'm going to prove it to you. Amen. Spiritual death. Let me tell you something. It is more hopeless than the Jezebel. It is more to be feared than the doctrine of Balaam. It is more to be shunned than the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. For you see, I can take this old black back sin killing devil driving Bible, and I can preach the paint off of that woman's face and the earrings out of her ears. Amen. I can do it. Say, how do you know? You can do it too, preacher. If you had some backbone, bone in there because I've had them wiping paint, amen, while I was preaching. I've had them take earrings off, amen, while I was preaching. I've had them to go home and burn their pantsuits so I know that I can preach the Jezebel out of them. I can take this Bible and I can take the truths of holiness and purity and I can put the Nicolaitans on the run with the truth of God's Word. I can take this black Bible and I can cause those that love the wages of unrighteousness. I can either preach them in or preach them out, one of the two. But oh, when there's no response to the preaching, amen, when there is no movement and no voice, when the church is dead and there's no power moving in the church, it leaves the minister of God helpless, seemingly with the word, because of deadness in the church. Evangelists will tell you, how many evangelists do we have here? They will tell you that they've never seen a time when it was so hard to move the church. We still have the name that we live, but we are dead. The church in Sardis had the name that they lived, but they were dead. Oh, you say, well, Brother Rich, we sure have been a shouting here tonight. Yes, but if I came to your local congregation and preached a revival, how many big dynamite bombs would I have to drop before I could get you to lift your hands, hit the altar and pray and seek the face of God? You know, neighbor, that Sardis was dead. Other churches in Asia were receiving great persecution. Other churches in Asia had problems of tribulations, but nowhere do we find where the church in Sardis was receiving any possible persecution or carrying any burdens of tribulation upon them. Amen. It's seemingly that they had no opposition from the outside. Oh, y'all not helping me much. It seems that they had not much pressure from the outside. Could it be that not even the devil nor none of his host would be interested in disturbing a dead church with a dead preacher? Because victory already belongs to the devil when the body loses the spirit. Amen. The church becomes dead. Oh, I'm going to preach to you. It's true the prodigal was dead down there in the far country. But down among the swine troughs of the far country is not the only place you can die. Some are dying right in our holiness churches. So I search this book looking for some reason why the church in Sardis died. I look for some opposing force that comes sweeping into the church, amen, that caused it to die. I look for problems and persecution, but I found none. I have concluded that the church died from within. It did not contact something from the outside that killed it out. It died from within. I travel across this nation preaching in holiness churches, and for most part, not every place, but for most part, most of our preachers are still trying to hold a line on holiness in some respects. But oh, neighbor, it seems like it's not the Jezebels that's killing us out and causing our children to go to the world. It's not the Jezebels, brother, and the doctrines of Balaam that's killing us out. It's deadness. Amen. A lack of the Spirit, a lack of the power of God that's causing our children to go out into the world searching for something that'll satisfy their souls. Oh, God. Oh, the church died within. And the churches are dying from within. Oh, I wish I didn't have to preach this. But I'm going to preach it anyhow. We're dying from within. Oh, God. Sure. Say, televisions have been a great damage. That's right. But I've preached this thing so hot against televisions that I've had 17 families to come and stand in front of me as I got through preaching one sermon and said, Brother Rich, go with us and let's blow these things up. You can preach the televisions out of the church. Amen. If there's life in the church, you can get rid of the televisions. You can get rid of the world. But whenever you call to a man and he's in a state of deadness and he doesn't answer you, when you call to the top of your voice and it's like a man in a coma, there's no response. There's no moving. Amen. There's nothing that will tell you there is life. There's not much you can do with that man. If the devil can't get you to go out there and cut your hair, ladies, and put on a pantsuit, amen, and paint up and look like a bullfighter that just come out of old Mexico, amen, he'll rock you to sleep, amen, and give you a tranquilizer and cause you to die sitting right in the church pew. You may not feel like that I'm qualified to preach a sermon, but I'm telling you, I've been traveling across this nation for the last several years, and the thing that's killing us is not forces from without. The thing that's causing us to fail to reach the lost is not because they're rotten egging us. It's because we are dying from within. I don't believe persecution can kill the church. Talk to Brother Eleazar Ramirez. Where's Sister Gail? Talk to Brother Eleazar just the other night in old Mexico. And as I talked to him, he's built a church in San Vicente, Mexico. He got the walls up and the Catholics tore down. He built the walls back up and the Catholics tore it down the second time. He built the walls back up, if I'm not mistaken, and they tore it down the third time. I asked him, I said, what are you going to do, Brother Eleazar? He said, we're going to build it again. And do you know, and Sister Gail will verify this, where do you think the power of God's fallen? Where do you think souls are running to God? Where do you think the greatest visitation in Mexico is at? Not up there where they're not having any persecution. Sister Gail Myers, am I telling it right? Right there in San Vicente, where the devil is working, the church is growing. Amen. It's not from without, brother. It's from within. That's where we're dying. Oh, I've got something else, but just hold on here a minute. I'm preaching tonight on what caused the church in Sardis to die. Listen to me. Many of our holiness churches, they will not tolerate the false doctrines of Balaam or the Nicolaitans. And they would not, and I don't blame them, they would not let a Jezebel on the organ. And I don't blame them. I believe holiness, and I think y'all know that. But the pastor and the church have died within. Oh, hear me. One of the punishments of olden times was for a living man to be chained to a corpse. Oh, brother. Amen. That was one of the punishments of olden times, to take a living man and chain him to a dead corpse and leave him out in the sun. Oh, amen, that's a dishonor to the living, isn't it? Amen, to take a living man and chain him to a corpse. No wonder I have such a hard time worshiping among some of our holiness folks. It's hard when you're alive and you've got the Spirit of God moving in your soul and the power of God is moving in your heart. No wonder I meet evangelists and say, boy, I'll never go back to that place. What's wrong? They're dead, they're dead, they're dead. Amen, it's just hard for the living to be chained to the dead. I believe it is a dishonor to the name of Jesus to attach his name to a church that has Jezebels and her doctrine in it. I believe it is a dishonor to the name of Christ, to attach his name to the false doctrines of Balaam and the false doctrines of the Nicolaitans, the churches with the loose morals. But I believe the greatest dishonor of all is to attach the name of the living Christ, the one who holds the keys of death and of hell in his hands, and says, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore. To attach that living name to a dead church is the greatest dishonor that can be done to the name of Jesus Christ. Not shouting tonight, but I'm telling you, it's happening in our country, right among our own people. We are dying. Our churches are dying. I visited your churches down in your country, and something needs to be done right there. Out in our country, neighbor, something needs to be done. Amen. Up in your country, something needs to be done. Oh, the thing that caused the sinner to run to God and to the house of God, it was because the church was vibrant with life. We had power. But oh, whenever the church is attached. Now, I don't know how you feel about it, but I'll tell you, I don't care nothing about being chained to a dead man. I don't care anything about being tied up to a dead man. Listen, but if I have to be chained to a dead man, I'd rather be the living man than the corpse. Are you listening to what I'm telling you? If I have to be in that predicament, I'd rather be a living soul in a dead church than a dead soul in a living church, wouldn't you? I'd rather be a man that had life in me with corpse all around me than to be one of the corpse. Listen, oh, even some of us preachers have to pray with David of old, Lord, lighten mine eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. In our area in Oklahoma, and some of our Oklahoma preachers are here, but they will tell you it's been a long time since we've had the church, amen, bombarded by rotten eggs and rotten tomatoes. Joe Dunn wrote me a letter about 12 years ago. Said, Brother Rich, I've been a preaching over here, and the folks sent me over a grocery pounding. Said, of course, it come in the form of eggs and rotten tomatoes on the church door. But said, nevertheless, they sent it on over. Well, we're not seeing much of that. But I'll tell you one thing we are seeing. We are seeing bodies of believers that have neglected the gift that was within them. As Brother Buzzard preached today, that's failed to stir up the gift that was within them. And they are dying on the vine. And I'm going to tell you something, and I love to shout, but brother, it takes more than just kicking up your heels once in a while to come alive. You've got to get in contact with the life-giving flow. The Holy Ghost power has to come in contact with you, amen, to put life in you. Some folks are satisfied just to come and kick up their heels a little bit. But oh, I like life. So great was this problem here in the church in Sardis that God said, judgment is going to come upon you. And it's going to come upon you as a thief in the night. What does that mean? It's going to come upon you unexpectedly. The master of the house is going to rise up, and he's going to shut to the door of the spirit. And you're not even going to realize that you're sitting there dead without the power of God moving in the church. Somebody told me not long ago, And I believe my tapes and my other preaching will back up the fact that I've preached as much holiness in the camp meetings as any preacher that's ever preached that I know of in our day. Say, I don't believe that. Well, get my tapes and listen to them. And I always throw in some holiness. But let me tell you something. One preacher said, you ought to visit our church. Not a short-haired woman. Amen. Not a television in the church. That's good. But I went to visit his church. And he had eight there, including he himself and his wife. Let me tell you something, neighbor. Amen. That is nothing more than a dead church. Church had been there about 40 years. Had eight there. Somebody had died from within. Oh, you're not listening to what I'm preaching tonight. But if you're not careful, and if we're not careful, amen, we'll sit around and say, well, we've got the Jezebels out, and we've got the false doctrines of the Nicolaitans out, and the false prophets out, and we do not have any of these things, but the church will be dead, and sinners will pass us by, and they'll fail to receive what they desire to receive and need to receive from the hand of the Lord. Brother Horton preached last night, and I mean he preached. But I told Brother Mark Carrington, I said he didn't preach anything that nearly every preacher on that platform has preached. I've preached on don't run God's stop signs. Don't call over God's roadblocks. The point of no return. Too far and can't get back home. Amen. Oh, he may have used a few scriptures, but in essence, it was the same message. But you see, when a live man up here preaching, and when there's life, death just can't stay in the presence where there's life. And there was folks moving toward these altars last night. And my own little daughter, Tanya, just turned 13 years old. We prayed with her every morning. Amen. Every morning she goes to school, she does not go there without a prayer on her. If I'm gone, Sister Rich prays with her. We pray with our family. We pray with our older children. But we, our other children were touched while they were young. But it seemed like Tanya, with all of the preaching, amen, that I've did and others, seemed not to be touched. But I don't know whether you noticed or not, but that was Brother Don Rich's little girl. That was right down there last night, amen, seeking the life-giving Savior. Preachers, what I'm trying to tell you, amen, we can come complacent. We can come unconcerned. We can become so busy. Amen. Seeking out new thoughts and new sermons until we fail to seek that life-giving flow of the Holy Ghost and fail to preach under the anointing of the Spirit that'll move souls into the altars. Yeah. Oh, that's what I'm hungry for. You say, Brother Rich, you mean your own daughter? I'm telling you, my own children will die in a dead church. Your children will die in a dead church. And you'll die in a dead church. Oh, yes, there comes times when we must... working in the church of the living God. Let me hurry with this. He said, not only will I come on thee as a thief and withdraw my spirit from you, but he said, I will blot out. I'm going to blot out your names. It's one thing never to have your name in the book of life, but it's a worse thing for your name to have one time been in the book of life and then have it to be blotted out. Brother Aaron Brock, I love to see a church that's alive. Oh, it doesn't have to be jumping to be alive, brother. Brother Shaw, amen. Some churches, amen, don't jump much, but they are active with a burden for the lost. Amen. They are reaching out. They're concerned about what's happening in our day and the way this generation is going. This church had the name that they were still alive, but they were dead. Now the question comes up, is there any hope for the dead church? Is there any remedy for the church that is dying? I believe that God has revealed to me the only hope for the church that's dying is found in His Word. It's found right here. God exhorts them and says, be watchful, strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. Remember how thou hast heard, and hold fast and repent. But who is he talking to? A corpse. A corpse can't be watchful. A corpse can't strengthen anyone else. A corpse cannot remember. A corpse cannot hold anything fast. A corpse cannot repent. Here's where the only hope of the dying church lies. Right here in this one phase of Scripture. But thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. That is the only hope. I believe here at this camp meeting, every one of us, we want to be classified with those few names, don't we? And probably so, those that have assembled in this camp meeting for most part are those few names that have not defiled themselves. But oh, let me tell you, if you claim to be one of those names, then what a responsibility you have upon you. For you see, the only hope of the church that's dead and dying is for those that have life in them to impart life to the dying. The story is told of two men in the Alps in a snowstorm, two close friends. They were walking along in the cold, seemingly lost, and then they become lost from one another. As they groped along in the darkness, one man was overcome with the cold, with the problems that faced him, and he fell in the snow. The other man, searching for his friend, calling, looking, finally had become overtaxed himself, and numbness was creeping on his body, and he felt like himself would soon have to succumb and fall, amen, himself, and give it up. But in his moments, his last moments of last efforts, he stumbles across something. And when he does, he reaches down, and it's the body of his friend. He feels of his friend, and there's still a little life. He becomes so occupied in trying to rouse his friend, in rubbing circulation back into his body, putting life back into him, his dying friend, until he noticed his own strength begin to revive. He noticed that his own power began to come back to him, and he finally succeeded in waking his friend up according to the story. And they made it to safety. Let me tell you something, preachers. The only thing that'll keep you alive is to find the dying. Find those neighbor, amen, that are dying, and impart life and strength. Become occupied in bringing life back to the church of the living God, and the church will live again. Listen, in the 20th chapter of the book of Acts, there was a man by the name of Paul who was getting ready to leave. He preached longer than Brother Rich is preaching tonight. Him and the people gathered around him up on the third loft. Listen to me. The third loft. And Paul began to preach and exhort, and he continued his speech until midnight. But there was a man there by the name of Eutychus. And the Bible said that he had fell into a deep sleep. And Paul kept on preaching. The Bible said he fell down in sleep. Oh, lighten mine eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. But he fell down and fell out of the third story. And the Bible said they took him up for dead. But here comes a living man, and he goes to a corpse. And the Bible said, Paul, embracing him, pulled that dead man right up to him and said, his life is in him. And the Bible said he delivered that young man back to them alive, and there was no small or little comfort. Oh, you don't understand what I'm preaching. But preachers and laity, we must be willing to go back to our churches and those that are dead and those that are dying. We must embrace them with such love and such compassion and such concern us, and with such life-giving flow that life comes back into their souls. And once again, the church not only will have a name that they live, but they'll have the power of the Holy Ghost moving in the church. I'm going to kind of close here in just a little bit. But oh, I wonder how many of us is willing to embrace the dead. How most of us shun away from them. But Paul embraced the dying, the corpse, and put life back in him and brought him back alive. Is there any hope for the church that you go to? Is there any hope for the body of believers that you belong to? You must confess most of our churches have been split at different times. You must confess that we've had troubles and problems in nearly every church. We must confess, amen, that preachers have fallen out with one another across this nation. I know the devil don't like this message, but I can't help that. Amen. You know it's the truth. There are preachers that claim to be of the same faith, but they cannot kneel at the same altar and pray. Are there any hope for such a dead, dry people? Then I must take you in my closing remarks over to the 37th chapter of the book of Ezekiel and see if there's any hope for a church that's so dead. Ezekiel said, the Spirit of the Lord was upon me, and he carried me in the Spirit, and he set me down in a valley that was full of dry bones. And lo, they were very dry. Now I know it's a prophetic chapter. I understand that. Amen. I know a little bit. Got a little bit of sense. But let me tell you something. Amen.
Israel was not a graveyard, but they had fallen in such a state of apostasy and in such a state of deadness and dryness that the only thing that could be said about them, it was a valley full of dry bones, and it was very dry. Help me here. Let me preach about 5 more minutes, and then I'm going to shut her down. Amen. It was a valley full of dry bones, and they were very dry. But I wonder if they were any drier than some of the places I've been, Brother Stewart, in just the last year. But here they are, very dry, and very many of them. Oh, God. And a voice spoke to Ezekiel and said, Son of man, can these bones live again? Oh, that's what I'm asking you tonight. Can our holiness churches have the demonstration of the Spirit and the power back in them again? Can our sick still come, amen, to our churches and find deliverance, amen, through the power of the stripes that was laid upon Jesus' back? Oh, I know we don't like that doctrine, but it's in the Bible anyhow. Amen. Is there hope, amen, that our sinner friends can come and walk through the doors and say, I've either got to get in or get out. The Spirit's too glorious and too powerful. There was a day, neighbor, when the sinners could not come and sleep on our pews like they do today because we had life in us. I think one of the greatest disappointments is to invite a sinner from the congregation of the dead and take him to the church where the church is dead. Oh, what a disappointment. He's disappointed. And everybody else. Can these bones, can they live again? Can the churches, amen, can they rally once again? Can we have the fellowship and the love and the unity that we one time had with one another without so many schisms in the body? No, I'm not trying to be popular. If I was, I wouldn't be preaching this message. I'm not seeking popularity. But I'm telling you, brethren, it's a crying shame that we've got so much schisms in the body of Christ. But is there hope? All these dead bones, even right here in this congregation, there's probably preachers that would have a hard time just walking up and saying, my brother, I certainly love you, and mean that with all of their heart. Oh, but is there any hope for us? Is there any hope for us, Brother Jimmy? Amen. You know how it is up in your country. You know how it is everywhere you go. Don't preach over here because we don't like those folks over there. And if you preach over there, we're not going to let you preach over here. Oh, yeah. We're all going to the same place, all headed toward the same heaven, but stay away over there. Amen. Well, if they're a corpse, I need to get over there because I've got some life in me. I need to get over there because I've got something in me, and I'm not afraid to embrace a corpse. If they're a corpse, then I need to go because I've got something that'll bring life back to the dead, and it's the gospel of Jesus Christ. For Jesus said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Is there hope for us? I say there is. I say there is. Yes. Now, Brother Rich, if you preach over there, we love you. If you preach over there, now they're a little looser than we are, and you better stay. Now, wait a minute. Wait a minute here. Y'all used to shout together before you split. And now you get over here and this is still shouting. And that's still shouting. And everybody says we're going to go to heaven. We'll fix it all up when we get there. You're dead. I said you're dead. You're dead. Don't you hold back on me. I'm not seeking popularity. I told my wife, I said, this will probably be the last big swath I'll cut this summer. I think I've got 7 or 8 camp meetings to preach, so I'm not seeking popularity. Amen. I'm going to try to make one more big swath. But while I have the opportunity, brethren, I'm telling you, there's only one hope for the church, and that's for those few names down there in Sardis. For you see, under the law, it was a defilement to the body of the living to touch the dead. But we're not under the law. We're under grace. And we're supposed to lift up the hands that hang down and strengthen the feeble knees and make straight paths for the lame, lest they be turned out of the way. Am I preaching the Bible? You know I'm preaching the Bible. Listen, Ezekiel, can these bones live again? Can God's people love one another with love unfeigned like we used to love one another? Can our young people put their confidence back in our preachers like they used to have? It grieves me when my own children come in and say, Daddy, I'm so sorry, but I just can't hardly believe in brother so-and-so anymore. Paul, that hurts me. Oh, why, son? Brother Blue brought it out. Well, did you hear what so-and-so said about him? Oh, that grieves my heart. Can these bones live again? Can they do it? Well, Ezekiel answered and said, Lord, boy, he didn't know. He didn't know whether they could or not. He said, Lord, I'm going to turn that question around and put it back to you. Lord, thou knowest. He said, all right, Ezekiel, I've got a plan. You go get Vestal Goodman and... No. Go call in that seminary and let's have that counseling service and get all of the preachers together and see if we can't iron this thing out. Oh, no. Amen. Get the Women's Pink Lemonade Society in here and we'll fry fish for the men's handball team and we'll see if we can't get this thing lined out. Oh, no. Oh, Lord, thou knowest. He said, all right, Ezekiel, I know they're dead. I know they're very dry. But I tell you what I want you to do, Ezekiel. You're not dead. If it wasn't for the prophets of God that are alive, our churches would die, every one of them, and remain in the valley of dry bones. Ezekiel, you're not dead. I know your congregation is dead. And I know they're dry. I know they're very dry. But Ezekiel, I tell you what I want you to do. I want you to prophesy. I want you to preach to these bones. Now, wait a minute, Lord. Let me run up there to the Living Word bookstore and see if I can't find a message that'll fit this boneyard. Oh, no. Oh, no. Lord, if you want me to preach, then you must give me the text. What do you want me to preach, Lord? And the Lord said, Ezekiel, say, ye old dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Amen. Hear the word of the Lord. If there's anything in this world that'll bring the dead church back to life, it is the preaching of this word by a man that's alive, by a man that's on fire, by a man that's got power in his life and been in contact with the living God. And he prophesied, oh, ye old dry bones, hear. Now, how can bones hear? I was preaching one time in a church. Sister, on Sunday morning, sister came to me to Sunday night. Said, Brother Rich, I got so mad at you this morning. While you said I couldn't even see straight. Couldn't hardly get my meal on the table because I was so mad. I said, well, I'm glad to hear that. She said, what? I said, I'm so glad to hear that. So what do you mean you're glad to hear that? I got mad. I said, I thought you was dead, but you still got a little life in you. You got enough life in you to get a little upset. I'd rather have a reversal in the response than no response at all. I'd rather have a little bit of movement in the wrong direction as no movement at all. Ezekiel, prophesy and say, you old dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. And as he began to preach that message, there was a noise and the whole is shaking and a coming together, bone to his bone. Oh, hallelujah. Flesh, sinew and muscle came upon those bones and had a glorious body, but there was no life in them. Ezekiel goes back. Lord, got them together now, but he's still dead. They're not as dry as they used to be, but they're not breathing. Oh, Lord, y'all don't understand it, do you? They're not as dry as they used to be, but they're not breathing. Lord said, I got one more text for you, Ezekiel. I done gave them the word. Now I've got to give them some spirit. For you see, the word and the spirit, they agree. I want you to step out, Ezekiel, and I want you to preach a while to the wind. And I want you to say, come, O four winds, come and breathe on these that are slain. And Ezekiel took that text that he got from the Lord, and he stepped back out among those corpses, and he began to prophesy and say, come, O wind. And when he did, Brother Neil Walker, life came into those corpses, and they stood upon their feet, already dressed up in their uniforms. Behold, a marching army. Amen. From with just two sermons, he brought them all the way out of the graveyard, clear to the battlefield. I say those few names that are in Sardis, that's alive. Let's go back to our churches. Let's go back to our places of worship. Let's take those corpses and put some life in them and get the church alive once again with the Spirit and the power of God. I'm going to close. But oh, I'm so tired of preaching in dead churches. Oh, God. Now, I know it's not my kind of sermon. I understand that. But the Lord dealt with me about preaching it. I'm tired, so tired of preaching and no response. Nothing happening. No one moving. Oh, it happens in our churches. Happened in our home church the other day, and no reflection on our pastor. He's here. But we went to church. He'll tell you the truth. We went to church to start at 7:30. We had two preachers to preach, and we was out 5 minutes after 8. Am I telling it right or wrong? Too dead for a living man. Oh, hallelujah. We got a good church now. Don't misunderstand me. But we could use some more life. Thou hast a few names, brother, and the people in this congregation that have gathered here from all parts of the country. If we'd go back and get a burden to put life into our churches once again. You can think of somebody right now that's either dead or dying, can't you, right in your home church. Think for just a moment. You can think of somebody, John David, if they don't get some life in them quick, if they're not strengthened, they'll soon be dead. There are people that's in church tonight, if they don't get some help 1 year from tonight, they'll be lost as lost can be. We've got to come alive. How many just lift your hand and say, Brother Rich, I realize I've got a little deadness in me. I've got to get it out of there. And I've got to come alive. Would you raise your hand quickly? Anywhere. Ah, Lord, I guess I had the right message. Someone asked me this week, said, Brother Rich, which camp meeting would you rather preach across the nation? Well, I've preached a lot of camp meetings in different parts of the country. It's hard to say, you know. And I said, well, it's hard to say, but it seemed like down in Fairland, those folks just come alive to the preaching of the word. And I sure like it down there, but then you go think about other places. You know, but there are places where there's no life. No life. Brethren, have you ever went and preached everything you had and then switched text two or three times and pulled all the nuggets out of about four or five real good sermons you had? Amen. And when you got through with all of that, still dead. Chained a corpse. Oh, brother. Hallelujah. I'd like to feel some life in you. You're alive. Let me feel your pulse. Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. How about you, son? You got any life in you? Paul, Brother Neil. A little weak there, but it's still alive. But I wonder if we took the pulse spiritually of this congregation. Did you know there's folks that shout, that's just as dead as can be? Did you know it is possible to take a definite stand against that which is morally and doctrinally corrupt and be just as dead can be? Now, you may not agree with that, but you know it is true. It is true. We've got to have life in us. Oh, I love the holiness people. And I love the churches. But my children's got to be saved. My children's and grandchildren's got to be filled with the Holy Ghost. And they're not going to find it in a dead church. Send my little girl up here to me. Tanya, come on up here. I'm going to close here in just a moment. Oh, God. Oh, God. Now you say, yeah, it's just a little small girl. Mm-hmm. But she turned 13 the other day. And she don't get quite some more of what she had got last night. My own little girl will end up in the wrong places and go to hell. That's right. And our children, I can't only blame them in one sense for searching for something else, because the church has failed to supply the vitality and the vigor and the life that they need to keep them encouraged. Brother Ralph Horton, I appreciate you preaching that message last night. This little old black-headed girl preaching over the radio. Preaching over the radio. And her mother contacted me. Didn't know her. Want to know if I'd like to have a child. Maybe I could give her a better life than the kind of life she was living. So I felt like maybe if I took her, brought her into a holiness home, not only could I save a life, but I could save a soul. I've got to keep her exposed to life. Oh, God. Just as pretty as a picture, isn't she? But the devil make a high bid for her. Oh, had her in Christian school. She had some few problems. Thought maybe she'd do better over in the public school. Put her in public school for a few months. The influence there was so terrible. Pulled her out, put her back in a Christian school. And yet, every morning when she bows her knee before she goes to school, that'll not save her. Her mom and daddy prays around her, and she prays over her food. But that'll not save her. I knelt beside her last night and I said, Tanya, you're the only one that can surrender your heart to Jesus. Daddy can pray with you. Daddy can make you pray. Daddy can make you do certain things. But one thing your daddy, as big as he is, cannot do, Tanya, I cannot make you surrender your heart to the Lord. You have to do that. Last night, Tanya did that. Now, church, if I take her back and I put her in a dead church, she'll lose the life that she has gained. Brother Dennis, that's why we've got to get that life moving in that Blanchard church.